Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're going to welcome in the general manager of the NFC champion San Francisco 49ers as they head to the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that would be John Lynch. John, Ed Coleman, Gary Myers here in New York. How are you? Congratulations.
Gary and Ed, how are you guys doing? I'm doing wonderful.
I bet you are, wonderful. John. And, You know, when I was texting John the other day, I said, you know, he's a finalist for the Hall of Fame again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, hopefully this year for him, but sometime soon, he'll get in the Hall of Fame. But can you imagine if a week from today, John, you get the knock on the door from David Baker that you're in, and then about 9:30, 10 o'clock next Sunday night, you're accepting the Lombardi Trophy from Roger Goodell. That would be a good weekend.
That would be a pretty good weekend. You're right. I can't lie with you there. You know, I've been incredibly blessed just been blessed in so many ways, playing with so many great teammates, playing in this league at all. Establishing myself and then now for the seventh time being a finalist. And then, you know, I go broadcast and I hop in and kind of the stars align. I hop in this front office role, working with Kyle Shanahan to try to bring back the Niners. And here we are. It's been incredible. So looking forward to a great week and really proud of our team for all they've done to earn this opportunity.
John, it's only the third year for you and Kyle together, and you guys went from almost worst last year with a 4-12 record to one step away from being first this year. So an almost worst to potentially being first, that's a pretty amazing turnaround. Last year I think got a little bit of an asterisk because Garoppolo got hurt early, and maybe you guys were better than the 4-12 record, but how surprised are you at the step this team has taken this year?
I don't want to say surprised because we felt it coming, even in the midst of a 4-12 season. And you mentioned Jimmy getting hurt in week three. And Nick Mullins came in and did a really nice job. We were extremely competitive. We just couldn't finish a lot of the games. And so we knew we were building something. We knew we were building culture with the type of people that we were bringing in. Finding the guys both in their talent and the spirit that they embody that we want and felt would allow us to compete for championships. We knew we had to add, you know, for instance, on defense, some edge, some people that could finish games, finish series, on third down, in 2 minutes at the end of games. And so I don't recommend it to anyone, but, sometimes a season like last year allows you to get a guy like Nick Bosa. And that was a big piece, a big cog that allowed us. And then you go find a guy like D Ford, and all of a sudden your defense is a whole lot better just with those two moves. And it makes everybody else that you felt pretty good on better. And then we drafted well. I think the other thing you can't forget, the guys developed that had been here and continued to work and believe. And Kyle Shanahan deserves so much credit for his coaching and his staff and their leadership and in terms of leading this whole thing. So it's been a fun ride.
John, you were a terrific defensive player during your career in the NFL. I wondered, as a general manager and the way you put this team together, what it's like to watch this defense, which has really been astounding at times this year during the course of the season.
Well, I think everybody's a product of their experiences. And one thing I learned through my experiences is when I was playing in Tampa with a dominant defensive line, my job in the back end became a lot easier. When you play with the likes of Warren Sapp and Simeon Rice and, you know, Greg Spires, all the pieces we had, that kind of is, you know, if there's a simple formula for success, when I was playing in today's football, it's you better have that quarterback and then you better find the guys to knock them down. And that's how we tried to build this defense. Fortunately, Kyle had the very same feeling that's how we wanted to build this. Some of the pieces were here when we arrived. DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead were here. And so we knew we had a great foundation. Solomon Thomas was one of our was our first draft pick, and a lot of people talk about what he hasn't been, but I would tell you he's been a key cog. And we added Bosa and Dee Ford, so you got five first rounders, and we've made a commitment. We've thrown resources at it, and we also like where we have what we have elsewhere. Richard Sherman being a big part, Quan Alexander coming in. So we were a deep and impactful defense, and that's set us up for success this year and hopefully for years to come.
John, at this point in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is the biggest challenge any defense will ever have to face, and especially at the level that he's played in the playoffs. You guys think you can get pressure on him and contain him? Because although he doesn't look to run like Lamar Jackson does, he's certainly capable of turning it on with his legs like we saw in the championship game against Tennessee. How big a challenge is Mahomes now for your defense, which has played so well in the playoffs so far?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Gary, and their entire offense. I mean, we've built our team on speed, and this is the fastest team we'll have faced all year. They can fly. There's no doubt about it. And Patrick is so talented, both doing it in the pocket and out. And so it's a huge challenge. I've talked about our front. We feel great about our matchups each and every week, and Patrick makes it tougher because one thing he does. He can throw within the pocket and he can extend. And usually it's an either-or type proposition with guys. But Patrick's doing it both, and he's obviously got some weapons. So we understand the challenge. We have great respect for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we're a very confident team. And that's just because each and every week these guys have gone out there, and we didn't win them all. We were in every game we played this year, and we're a confident group, but like I said, just a tremendous amount of respect for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and their entire team.
John, I wanted to ask you a two-part Jimmy Garoppolo question. One is, he throws only 8 passes in the championship game. What's your level of confidence that if this becomes a high-scoring game and you can't rely on your running game, that you can rely on Jimmy to win it? And start with that one, then I'll have a follow-up question for you.
Yeah, we've got a ton of belief in Jimmy. One of the coolest things of last weekend, when we beat the Packers, we're up on the podium. I'm standing next to Jimmy, and Jimmy says to me, "John, how cool is that? We threw the ball 8 times and won." And that's very representative of who he is. A lot of quarterbacks would not be too happy. And he's all about one thing, and that's winning. And I think that's who he is as a person, how he was raised. And it's also probably cutting his teeth in New England, where winning is everything. And so that's first and foremost what he's all about, what he's been about, and what the numbers say. He's been outstanding doing that. But we have all the confidence in the world in his ability, and not because we just think it, because we've seen it. Against New Orleans, we go down there, a shootout, and he outduels Drew Brees, and we end up winning. Was nearly flawless on that day. Mm-hmm. I think 4 fourth quarter comebacks this year. So we've got all the confidence in the world of Jimmy. Kyle Shanahan has always believed in running the football. And if the other opponent is not stopping it, we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to play off that. So I think that's one of the things that gives us confidence in our team, our group, is that we can and have beat people in a variety of ways. You want it to be a defensive showdown, we can do that. You want it to be a shootout, we've done that. We can do that. So that gives you confidence. That doesn't ensure you anything, but I think the successful teams I've been on, you can beat people in a multitude of ways, and that's one thing we have demonstrated this year.
3 years ago, John, right at the trade deadline in 2017, Bill Belichick calls. I don't know if he called you or if he called Kyle. What do you remember about, it was kind of out of the blue that they were trading Garoppolo in the middle of the season. And first of all, was it you that he called or Kyle?
It was Kyle that day. And, Kyle called me down and we both spoke with Bill. It was a unique opportunity. One we had to answer fairly quick. And we acted fairly quick. We had a conversation. The one thing Kyle and I promised each other was that by acquiring Jimmy, we weren't committing to him as our franchise guy. We were saying, you know what, we're going to take as long as it takes to take a look at this guy and see if he has what it takes to be our guy moving forward. And He came in, he made everybody in our organization better immediately, and we didn't hesitate. We committed to him. At the time, I think the largest number ever given to a quarterback. You know, we had a feeling, our team here that, you know, that works with the cap and such, that in due time that, you know, the quarterback market was going to adjust itself, and that probably was the start of it. I think now he's 10th, 11th paid guy. So I think, you know, we committed to him. We were happy to, and we're sure excited that we did.
Somewhere in the conversation before you closed the deal, one of you said to Belichick, by the way, is can we have Brady instead?
Well, that was yeah, we try not to talk about details with Bill. He don't really like that. So, but that was that long. I mean, the story's already been. That was the year before when we first inquired about Garoppolo.
Oh, I see. Okay,
he wasn't giving up Garoppolo, and so I kind of threw that out there.
Oh, okay.
As hey, I said, we shot. Don't like getting into details there. So, but,
worth a shot. What the heck?
If you don't shoot, you can't score.
John Lynch, the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, our guest here on The Fan. You had a story that exploded in a great way during the championship game in Raheem Mostert. And that wheel spun around five or six different times in the NFL, but it finally landed on the San Francisco 49ers. How and why did that come about for you, John?
Well, you know, I everybody loves when you kind of find those gems. I don't think we found them. He was here when we arrived. I think Chip Kelly deserves a lot of credit for that one. He had had him in Philly. He brought him. You know, one thing we coveted was speed. One thing we knew with Raheem when we got here, he was one of the best gunners, the guys outside on the punt team in football, and that's a very valuable role. He dominated in that role, but we started kind of inserting him. You know, game day rosters, you only get 53. You have 53 on your active. You get down to 46 on game day. These guys need to be able to play in a pinch. And so, you know, Raheem's issues had always been injuries and ball security when he's played running back. Kyle saw some things. Bobby Turner, our running back coach, Mike McDaniel, the entire group. Wow, he does things extremely well that fit for this system, the ability to stick his foot in the ground on that zone scheme and then go and hit top speed in a hurry. And so we started seeing, and again, I give Kyle a ton of credit because sure enough, you know, some of the ball security woes came back to haunt him, but Kyle, you know, looked him in the eye and said, Raheem, we're not going away from you. You're too good, and we're gonna battle through this. And I think that confidence in Raheem really proved valuable. He started to play at a high level last year, and then he broke his arm. And so it was kind of cut short, you know, as a lot of our players were. But we thought we had something. All year long, he's been one of the top guys in terms of yards per carry, extremely productive. The fun thing with our unit, you know, it's Breida some weeks, it's Tevin Coleman the next. Jeff Wilson, our fourth back, has won a game for us this year, and last week was Raheem's time. And I think Raheem would be the first to tell you when someone's running for 220 yards, that's indicative of everyone buying into the running game, and that's receivers blocking outside, your offensive line dominating, and then, you know, we've got an extraordinary player in George Kittle, who's you know, last year leads the league in receiving yards, you know, and sets the record for tight ends. You know, in addition to that, he's unequivocally the best run blocking tight end in football.
Does he remind you, although he's not as big, does he remind you of Gronk a little bit, both in production and personality?
Yeah, he's got some personality. I think there's a lot of parallels there. I never played with Gronk. I watched him a lot. I admired him a lot. There's a lot of parallels, and he's not as big, but his impact is as big. And then George, I think the one thing that separates him from is with the ball in his hands, he's always fast. I mean, he's a 4-5 guy. And with the ball in his hand, I'd love to time him with the ball in his hands because he runs as fast as he needs to. And it's fun to watch him, and he's quite a player.
The play down the sidelines in New Orleans earlier this year in the final minute kind of opened everybody's eyes to him, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, we knew it. We've been seeing it for 3 years, he just kind of took this attitude, and I give his position coach, John Embry, a lot of credit because he, you know, the first year, George would make tremendous players or plays where he broke two tackles and then would be tackled. And Embo said, why'd you let him tackle you? You know, he drove him and George kept striving for, you know what, I'm never going to be tackled. And now he runs with that attitude. And I think that New Orleans game and that play at that moment showed kind of the rest of the league and the world, wow, this guy is special. So much of it's his attitude and his expectation of never being tackled, that he doesn't care how many people are there. And then he just plays with such an exuberance and energy that he lifts our entire team.
You know, we've seen the 49ers in a lot of low-scoring games this year for the most part, but we have seen you in New Orleans where things got out of hand. What type of game do you think this will be coming up on a week from Sunday, John?
I have no idea. I really don't. I really don't. I'm not going to make any predictions. I think both teams are playing at a high level. I think it's a good – I was in Mobile earlier this week, and so many people said, hey, the best two teams got there. And, you know, it sure felt like that, particularly at the right time. And that's part of this thing. Are you playing your best football when it counts? And I think at that time, we were the two teams playing the best. I've told you as much as I can how much respect we have for them. And I think it's going to be a tremendous Super Bowl, very evenly matched teams and two fabulous head coaches and, you know, two teams that organizations that have great history. I think there's a lot to like about this Super Bowl.
John, I want to ask you a non-Super Bowl question. And as an impartial observer somewhat, the big story in New York this week has been obviously Eli Manning retiring and then what his Hall of Fame chances would be. Just as a former defensive player and now an executive in the league and a former analyst for Fox, how would you evaluate or how do you look at him? Is he a Hall of Fame player in your mind?
Well, I just was able to text with Eli. He's a friend. I'm probably closer with his brother,
right,
Peyton, but through that, you know, I've gotten to know Eli over the years and broadcasting a lot of his games. I think so. You've won two world championships. You've been the MVP in both of them. You beat the mighty Patriots twice. I mean, those are some monumental things. I understand the other part that he's, you know, I guess his record indicates almost perfectly that he's a 500 quarterback. The guy on the biggest stage, and he didn't just play well, he played unbelievably in those matchups. So I think you have to look at the totality of things, but how did he play when it mattered most? And he played pretty darn well. And he'd get my vote if I had one. I don't. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be a seven-time finalist. I'd be in.
We'll see if we can change that a week from today, John. Right?
That'd be nice. That'd dovetail really nice. Let me ask you the toughest question you're going to have of the day, okay? How much do you miss our friend, your old broadcast partner, Kevin Burkhardt?
One of the coolest things, you know, one of the benefits of this, you know, you get this far when we've got a great owner like us, Jed York. He gave me a suite for the game. He gave Kyle one. And, you know, after you take care of your family, my wife said, okay, I want you to sit down. I want you to go through this exercise. Who are the people that just mean a lot to you in your life? I'm talking friends. And one of the top, you know, and I felt like I abandoned him 3 years ago. I called up Kevin Burkhardt and I said, hey, we'd love for you to sit in our suite. You mean a lot to me. You're a great friend. And so that was kind of a cool moment. Now, it turns out he's broadcasting the game for the international feed, I guess. So,
gotcha.
He's not
okay.
going to join us because he's going to be working. But Kevin, I think people in New York know it because when I broadcast games, I hear the chants outside, mm-hmm. Kevin Burkhardt, yeah. You know. And, yeah. But what a talent. I mean, anything, whether it be play-by-play, in the studio, he makes it look easy. I think he's as talented as anybody in the business, and his story's even better. A guy who just wouldn't say no. It feels like a lot of our players, and I'm proud of him and proud to call him a friend.
Yeah. Good man, absolutely.
Former car salesman.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Hey, John, thanks.
And I think on your network, you guys, right? Didn't he do the overnight? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he was on the fan. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, he's been here and with the Mets and all that stuff. Yeah. No,
yeah.
And he's a good man, no question.
Yeah.
John, listen, congratulations and good luck, all right?
Thanks so much, guys. Okay. Enjoyed talking with you.
Take care, John. We'll see you next week.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.